What did you think about Tom's job reading Corinthians? He did a nice job, didn't he? Thank you, Thomas. What did you think about Paul's letter to the people of Corinth? Did you hear it? Did you pay attention to it? Did you hear what he said? God has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Holy mackerel, what's going on here? The letter kills. That sounds pretty. The ministry of death chiseled in stone on stone tablets. This is pretty harsh language. Think about that a minute. He's talking about the Ten Commandments, isn't he? The Decalogue. This is in some places and some settings, Paul would have been killed for this. This is heresy. He is speaking out against the Ten Commandments, the commandment. I'm lost for words. How about that? You get to see a picture of that. The preacher lost for words. The covenant between Jesus. Thank you for the covenant. The covenant, that's the word I was after. The covenant between Moses and God, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And so here Paul is calling them letters of death chiseled into stone tablets. And he goes on, to this very day when they hear the reading of the old covenant, the same veil is still there. It is not unveiled, since Christ, in Christ, it is set aside. This is some harsh language. Now, you have to understand, I don't know, even historians don't know all that was going on with the church in Corinth. There are two major letters in our epistles, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Have you heard of those? And those letters, Paul is speaking a lot to the church in Corinth. Now, that either means he loved them an awful lot and they were his favorite, or they needed a lot of guidance. I kind of think the second is. This is my opinion as we read some of those letters. But he is busy trying to help people understand some important things. How could the Ten Commandments, these stone words, these words carved in stone, how can these be letters of death? What could be going on here? My interpretation is this one. But to get there, I have to set this aside for a second, and I'm going to ask you some questions. Do any of you know any laws? Did you know that it is illegal to park on the street facing the wrong way? Do you know you could get a ticket? Yeah. If you're driving in the right-hand lane, if you park on the right, you're good. But if it's not a one-way street, you can't park on the other side facing that way. You could get a ticket for that. Did you know you can get a ticket for parking closer than 15 feet to a fire hydrant? Everybody's nodding their heads. Did you know that it's illegal to put up a yard sign on a telephone pole or a street light or anything in the public right-of-way? Did you know that? So far, everybody's 3 for 3, yeah? Did you know in Aspen it's illegal to throw a snowball at people or buildings? Aspen, Colorado, figure that one out. Did you know in Sterling, Colorado, it's illegal to kiss a sleeping woman? Can't even get my head around that one. I'm just completely lost as to how that's the case. True, these are laws on our state books, and there are many, many, many laws. I had to throw in those last two. Those are just too much fun. But I'll tell you what, it can be a minefield out there. Right after moving to Aurora, we had a huge juniper bush in the front yard, okay? And it had grown over the walk. By the way, you have to have it cut back 18 inches from the sidewalk. Any bush has to be cut back 18 inches. Mine was about 3 feet over the sidewalk. And besides that, it was overgrown. It was full of spiders. It was a mess. And I'm not a big fan of juniper bushes. So tore it out. The next day, I had a notice, a warning that I was going to get a ticket. You see, it's illegal to leave a bare patch of ground in the city of Aurora. I didn't know that. I was pretty startled. And I was amazed that, I mean, I had finished getting the bush out the night before. It was dark. I was weary. I went in and crashed. The next day, I get the warning? I mean, come on. They must be real sticklers for things in Aurora. That is not the case as I see the community around me. Turns out I had some neighbors down the street, and they were sticklers for the law. They knew every code and every edict and every law, and they were busy enforcing it. And as soon as I had moved in and tore that bush out, they had called code enforcement, and code enforcement had to respond. So the laws weren't really helping people get along. They could actually be those things that we use to pick at each other and to foist on each other and to accuse each other of and to sue each other over. My neighbors down the street were raising Cain. Did you know where that origin of that phrase is? This is from Raising Cain, Cain and Abel, back up from the dead, and he's a negative influence. That's where that term comes from. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever used that phrase, Raising Cain? Now you know what it was all about. Do you care? You don't have to say yes just to please me. But Paul, is he talking about the Levitical laws because they were just you being used to pressure people, to lord over people, to whip people, to divide people? These laws that should have been bringing harmony and did to an early humanity that was lawless, we had to grow, and those laws had to be there, and they had to be spelled out, and they had to help humanity grow. But that relationship is the one that we reflect when Moses brought the tablets down off Mount Sinai, and the ones that were instilled and became enforced through the church and the temple authorities. What had been meant to help us be people of harmony and care and compassion had become a weight. There were laws if a woman was caught in the act of adultery. That's the one that Jesus confronted the most visibly. It is the most important one to help us name and hear how Jesus was in the world. A woman is brought to him caught in the act, and the law is clear. And they knew Jesus. They knew where he was at. They knew that he was talking about compassion and love and care of one another. So they were testing him. So he turned it on its head. You know the law. Those of you who have been pure, have never made a mistake, begin the process. Cast the first stone. And in all honesty, God bless them, in all honesty, none of them could throw the stone. So we heard in the gospel lesson, the transfiguration. This is Transfiguration Sunday. Jesus is transfigured on the mountain. His appearance changes and he glows. This is not unlike Moses. You remember Moses went up on the mountain, and when he came down, he didn't realize it, but people said, your face is glowing. This is outrageous. You're just having seen the Lord, your face shining. So Moses would put on a veil, cover his face with a veil, and he'd take it off when he spoke to God. But the people had to speak to Moses through that veil so that Moses could speak to God for them. they were caught and lost in a relationship separating them from God. Compassion. Compassion. Care for the less fortunate. How can we be about that? How can we care about people that we need to be about? Listen to the Ten Commandments. I won't run them for you right now. But think about them, and they're all about the way that we should be. Love your mother and father. Sure, honor them. Don't kill, don't steal. Those are uncompassionate things. These are relatively straightforward commandments. But the first two are the important ones. Love God and love one another. And it's easy to skip past that. In point of fact, you remember one of them comes and says, Lord, you know, love one another, but love your neighbor as yourself is what it says. Well, who's my neighbor? I don't have to love everybody, do I? I mean, maybe there's people out there that I can say, oh, they're not my neighbor, and I don't have to love them. Those other ones. That's when he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Loving a man he didn't know, that others couldn't approach, going out of his way to care for a man who had been beaten, who was laying naked, unconscious in a ditch. This evil Samaritan had done this, evil because they were a nation that the Israelites were not supposed to have anything to do with. Everybody is our neighbor. Well, that's a big one. That's hard to imagine. That's hard to be. I'm working on it, brothers and sisters. I'm not there 100%. But out of all of the commandments, you could accomplish 9 out of them without having any heart whatsoever. Remember, there's a rich young lawyer comes to Jesus. Do you remember he came and he said, Lord, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to achieve eternal life? What are my goals as a good religious person? Jesus said, have you followed the commandments? Yes, Lord, all of them since my youth. I've done all the commandments rigorously. Dare I say religiously? That's a pun. And Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom. Now, use your wealth to take care of each other. And the rich young man walks away sad because he's got a lot of riches. And he's worked very hard to get those riches. And those riches give him power and position and prestige. And he is caught with putting those possessions before the commandment. See, it's possible to obey the commandments without having any heart. Is that what Paul's talking about? I believe it is. These commandments that are letters of death, lifeless letters. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. This is Paul. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. God's Spirit, God's love, God's care of one another. The commandment to us through Jesus, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Puts it right out there first and foremost after loving God. Amen?